Good. It's awesome. Welcome. Welcome. So it's awesome having you all here. And yeah, when I prayed and asked God, well, it was my turn. He told me it's me to preach. I thought I can dive still, that I can do it, but it was my turn. And then I thought, oh, yeah, obvious, it will be about Easter. And I had to repent because I thought, oh, everyone knows what's Easter. Everyone knows what happened and how it worked. And then God gave me a picture. He reminded me actually of a picture of gold, and it flowed kind of like a river. And then as I watched it, crystal clear water was flowing on top of it, and it looked like with crystals, like diamonds in it. Super, super beautiful. And I felt God said, we need purification. We need to be purified. We need to get rid of the clutter of Easter that's not part of Easter. So it's perhaps a different way of giving an Easter message. But it is to purify us, to get us pure. When God also said the bride, the dress of the bride must be clean and without blemish and wrinkle. And we are the church. So we need to get clear from clutter. We need to get clear from wrong thinking, wrong doing. So perhaps it's a teaching sermon. And then I said, God, I'm not the teacher. Darjan is the teacher. So what happened now? So I had to spend hours to study. But it was good. It was good for me. And hopefully it's really a blessing for you as well. Okay, before I begin, I want to know anyone who feel to bring us a testimony, or who what happened during this last week, or what you felt during worship, praise and worship, or something that God did, a picture or a dream. Come on, God is working, I know. Holy Spirit is working, so can't be that there's nothing. No one? No. Caroline, why do you want to do it after? Is it better for you to do it after? Okay. Okay, good. All right. Then we'll start. Easter. This will not work very nicely here. Oh, it's okay. I'll take it like this. It's okay. Thanks, Martin. Easter. What is Easter not? As I said, we're going to clear ourselves from the clutter. In Ezekiel 8, verse 14 to 16, then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate. This is now Ezekiel, and this is his vision of the house of the Lord. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? You will see still greater abominations than these. Now, an abomination is something God terribly hates. He's not in unity when you do that. So this was actually people who prayed for Tammuz and who wept for Tammuz. And it was in the house of the Lord. So it was in the temple. It was in church where it actually happened. And then God said, I hate this. This is not a weeping for me. This is a weeping for Tammuz. Okay, so now we need to know who is Tammuz. The second part is, and he brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east, worshipping the sun towards the east. This is horrible. It's actually sun worship. So they turn their back to God, back to the temple, facing where the sun is coming up. And it's, yeah, it's sun worship. Okay, I just wanna stop there. That was sun worship. So let's go and search who was Tammuz. If they wept for Tammuz in the previous verse, who then was Tammuz? And in Genesis 10, verse 8 to 10, we read, Cush, I hope I pronounced that correctly, fathered Nimrod. So he was the dad of Nimrod. Cush was a grandchild of Noah. Okay, so they all survived the flood. Then they started multiplying afterwards. So then from Noah it was, I don't know if there was one in between, but then it was Cush and Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Sinar. So Nimrod, it looks here as if God loved Nimrod. But actually, if you go and search it a little deeper, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, but he didn't hunt for God. He was not actually a good man. We're gonna look at the other stuff just now. But at least we know, okay, that was Nimrod, and then Nimrod was married to Semiramis. We'll see it just now. And they had a son, Tammuz. And that is where the people was weeping about this son. Why this son? Okay, we'll get there. I just want to say Colossians 2 verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So also in this sermon, and every sermon, we must test it. We must check, is it truth? Because the only truth is the Bible, is God's word. And sometimes there comes add-ons, which is not God. So also this sermon, you must test, is this the truth? Because we need to be clear. We need to be purified. We need to be really who God wanted us to be. Perhaps I've got 10 of these. If you can, I ask you to hand them out. See, I don't think everyone will get them. We're quickly going to read through that. It sounds very boring, but it's not. It's not. It's really not. It's a page you can keep for yourself. This one is from Trumpet Ministries International, and I felt this is really taking everything together the best of those who I could get. Okay, Easter is a day that is honored by nearly all of contemporary Christianity and is used to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we are in unity with that. We say yes about that. The holiday often involves a church service at sunrise. Now, you've heard now already the sunrise thing, that God was not happy facing the east and facing the sun. A feast which includes an Easter ham, decorated eggs, and stories about rabbits. Okay, we didn't read that day. Perhaps later. Those who love truth learn to ask questions, and many questions must be asked regarding the holiday of Easter. Is it truly the day when Jesus arose from the dead? When did all the strange customs come from? Where? Which have nothing to do with the resurrection of our Savior. The purpose of this track is to help answer those questions and to help those who seek truth to draw their conclusions. The first thing we must understand is that professing Christians were not the only ones who celebrated a festival called Easter. And now we're going to go back to Nimrod and Semiramis. It was before Jesus was even born they had this feast. Yeah? So it was even before the Passover this Easter feast happened already. Okay, so Ishtar which is pronounced Easter, was a day that commemorated the resurrection of one of the gods that they called Tammuz. So here we get Tammuz. He was resurrected, like Jesus. Yeah? Who was believed to be the only begotten son of the moon goddess and the sun god. Okay, so now you can understand the sun worship. In those ancient times, there was a man named Nimrod, who was the grandson of one of Noah's sons named Ham, of Shem, or what was that, what we read? Yeah, Cush. Cush fathered Nimrod. Noah's son named Ham. Oh, yes, but there's one generation in between.
Yeah.
Ham had a son named Cush, who married a woman named Semiramis. Cush and Semiramis then had a son named Nimrod. Cool, you're still with us. After the death of his father, after the death of Cush, now Cush and Semiramis had a son, Cush, Nimrod married his own mother and became a powerful king. Okay. The Bible tells of this man, Nimrod, in Genesis 10, verse 8 to 10 as follows. And Cush begat Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh and in the land of Sinar. Nimrod became a God-man to the people, and Semiramis, his wife and mother, became the powerful queen of ancient Babylon. If you go a little into other gods, you will always find her. Nimrod was eventually killed by an enemy, and his body was cut in pieces and sent to various parts in his kingdom. Semiramis had all of the parts gathered except for the one part that could not be found. That missing part was his reproductive organ. Semiramis claimed that Nimrod could not come back to life without it and told the people of Babylon that Nimrod had ascended to the sun and was now to be called Baal, the sun god. If you go into different cultures, if I can say that, they just call him different names. It's the same idol, the same god. It's Ra, it's Baal, it is... there are many. I didn't want to put it here. I thought it will just be too much info. But you will find it if you look for it. Queen Semiramis also proclaimed that Baal would be present on earth in the form of a flame, whether candle or lamp when used in worship. Okay. So we can often see statues and so on with the flame. And also the Olympic Games has a flame. Semiramis was creating a mystery religion, and with the help of Satan, she set herself up as a goddess. Semiramis claimed that she was immaculately conceived. She taught that the moon was a goddess that went through a 28-day cycle and ovulated when it was a full moon. She further claimed that she came down from the moon in a giant moon egg that fell into the Euphrates River. So here we get the egg. This was to have happened at the time of the first full moon after the spring, how do you pronounce it? Equinox. Spring equinox. So when spring started. Okay. Semiramis became known as Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, and her moon egg became known as Ishtar's egg. Ishtar soon became pregnant and claimed she was actually having sex with other people because, you know, her husband was dead, and claimed that it was the rays of the sun god Baal that caused her to conceive. And the son that she brought forth was named Tammuz. Tammuz was noted to be especially fond of rabbits, and they became sacred in the ancient religion because Tammuz was believed to be the son of the sun god Baal. Tammuz, like his supposed father, became a hunter. The day when Tammuz was killed by by a wild pig. Queen Esther told the people that Tammuz was now ascended to his father, Baal, and that the two of them would be with the worshippers in the sacred candle or lamp or flame as Father, Son, and Spirit. Esther, who was now worshipped as the Mother of God and Queen of Heaven, continued to build her mystery religion. The queen told the worshippers that when Tammuz was killed by the wild pig, some of his blood fell on the stump of an evergreen tree, and the stump grew into a full new tree overnight. This made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. Okay, so we have an evergreen tree. She also proclaimed a 40-day period of time of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. Okay, the Catholics use that as Lent. And if I'm not wrong, those people crying for Tammuz was doing that thing. They had this, she also proclaimed a 40-day period of time of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. During this time, no meat was to be eaten. Worshippers were to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal and Tammuz and to make the sign of the T in front of their hearts as they worshipped. They also ate sacred cakes with the mark of a T or cross on the top. So perhaps we see some hot cross buns here. Yeah, every year on the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, a celebration was made. This is not our Easter. This is not the resurrection of Jesus. This is not the death of Jesus. Sometimes it falls on the same weekend, but not always. We will see now how we calculate actually the Christian celebration. It was Easter Sunday and was celebrated with rabbits and eggs. So at least we don't read of rabbits and eggs in the Bible, but we know now where it comes from. Easter also proclaimed that because Tammuz was killed by a pig, that pig must be eaten on that Sunday. By now, the readers of this tract should have made the connection that paganism has infiltrated contemporary Christian churches, and further study indicates that this paganism came in the way of the Roman Catholic system. The truth is that Easter has nothing whatsoever to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so perhaps it's a shock for you. Perhaps you've known this. We also know that Easter can be as much as 3 weeks away from Passover, because the pagan holiday is always set as the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And we'll see just now how the Jews calculated. Some have wondered why the word Easter is in the King James Bible. It is because Acts chapter 12 tells us that it was the evil King Herod who was planning to celebrate Easter and not the Christians. The true Passover and pagan Easter sometimes coincide, but in some years they are a great distance apart. So much more could be said, and we have much more information for you if you are a seeker of the truth. We know that the Bible tells us in John 4 verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The truth is that the 40 days of Lent, eggs, rabbits, hot cross buns, and the Easter ham have everything to do with the ancient pagan religion of mystery of Babylon. These are all Antichrist activities. Satan is a master deceiver and has filled the lives of well-meaning, professing Christians with idolatry. These things bring the wrath of God upon children of disobedience who try to make pagan customs of Baal worship Christian. You must answer for your activities and for what you teach your children. These customs of Easter honor Baal, who is also Satan, and is still worshipped as the rising sun, And his house is the house of the rising sun. I don't know if anyone knows that song.
Mm.
Only no. Our old people. Oh, I'm singing. How many churches have sunrise services on Easter sun, on Easter Day and face the rising sun in the east? How many will use colored eggs and rabbit stories as they did in ancient Babylon? These things are no joke, any more than Judgment Day is a joke. So, yeah. I pray to God that this track will cause you to search for more truth. We will be glad to help you by providing more information and by praying for you. These are the last days and it is time to repent. Come out and separate. Okay, this was a mouthful. Let me just see where I am now. We have a little picture of some of the... This is familiar to us now. Especially in the Netherlands, they have chickens and eggs everywhere. And I love the chocolate chicken, of the chocolate eggs, chocolate chicken. And that kind of loves the hot cross buns. But yeah, it's shocking to know why it has a cross and that it's not our Jesus Christ cross. Those are ancient, not the last few, but the others are ancient statues of Tammuz and Semiramis in different, not religions, but yeah, perhaps in different religions, in different cultures. It even comes back in the Chinese and in the Indian, and they just call it different names, but it's all the same. So if we go back to God who made the earth, and then it was Noah, and then after Noah, this Nimrod, and actually not so much Nimrod as his wicked wife, Semiramis, and all her, I think Satan really involved her thinking, was not helpful to us as Christians. It confuses us. It and during Christian, when Jesus was died on the cross and was resurrected, many followers of Jesus were martyred because they want to separate this. They don't want to put it on the same day and confuse people. But yeah, the Romans just on one stage, they decided, man, this is the day. And whoever want to have a feast, it's that day. So, and even the Roman Catholics joined in later. But the result is we struggle because we don't know where it comes from. And we think it's godly and we think it's Christian and we think it's awesome. So yeah, it is not all awesome and wonderful. This, I think, is the rise of the sun. It's more the sun god. And then, isn't this the Statue of Liberty with a flame?
Mm-hmm.
And I was always wondering why this flame. What is this flame? Why is even here in front of the church in the middle of Utrecht? What is the church called? Dom Church, yeah. There's also a lady with a flame. Why? A lady. And it is for all the people who died, if I'm right, in the World War II. Okay, so we wonder. And then even our little Starbucks, yes, it's not that you might not drink Starbucks. It's just to understand where the symbol comes from and that you're not in agreement with that, hopefully. Okay, cool. What is Passover? This is not Passover. So what is Passover then? What are we celebrating this weekend? Mm. Which is so super awesome. Okay, let's start. Exodus. This is the first time Passover was communicated by God to the people. And although most of us know it, I just want to go through it a little thorough. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months." Okay? This month is the beginning of months. That meant this is the start of the year. Okay? And it is actually the start of a spring, what God said here. Yeah? So their new year is different than ours. Yeah? This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, so the 10th of the first month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. If the lamb was too much for you to eat in one evening, you had to join. You had to join with another family. Okay? And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. I didn't put that verse also there, but the lamb was without blemish. The lamb could have been from a goat or of a sheep. It was kind of a perfect lamb. Yeah? Okay, verse 7. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel, that's the top one of the door of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. They started to eat unleavened bread, if you study the word further, that day, for a week. So leaven was seen as the enemy, kind of. I think when we grasp some, it's not stories, what you call it in English, those parables that Jesus used. It also speaks of leaven, and that a little leaven can influence the whole bread or whatever. So leaven was sometimes seen as not good. So they also had to clean their houses of leaven before this feast. There may not be found any leaven in your house when you do this feast. You must be clean. You must be cleaned out. Okay. Verse 11. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And then it goes on, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where the Passover comes from. I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Which is awesome to me is, I like intercession, I like praying, I like prophetic things to do. Actually, this was super prophetic. Now, they didn't know it's going to happen. Yes, God told them. Okay? But they have no evidence that it would happen. Nothing happened like this before. So, in faith, they did the lamb ritual. In faith, they ate the unleavened bread. In faith, they painted their houses with blood. I think it's not very hygienic. I think it would have been flies and there. But they did it in faith, and it looks stupid to outsiders. Often our prophetic acts look stupid. And sometimes I feel even stupid to do it. But it has power.
Yeah.
And the angel of death could pass over. I got on the WhatsApp a short voice note or whatever of someone, and she said, we must bring everything to God to pass over, so that God can pass over that. Our worries, our debts, or everything, our sickness, our everything. That Jesus Christ can pass over that. It was symbolically for me very awesome to see it that way. Okay, Exodus 12, verse 29. At midnight, okay, let's just get it right. It was the 14th, they slaughtered that lamb. 6 o'clock, the new evening started. We will get to that, I think, a little later. They counted from sun. Dawn, now from when the sun goes under to the next day, sun under. So the 14th, what they had to slaughter would be in their last part of the 14th. The 15th started when three stars was visible. In the sky, then the new day was starting. I think we will get there just now. But in any case, so then they slaughtered the lamb. Now they fried the lamb. They fried it. Now they may not cook it. I love that. I like fried meat. So with bitter herbs, I don't know if that was great, but they fried it. It's not in 1 hour finished. If any one of you have fried a lamb, it takes a few hours. So then they say they ate it at midnight. And then also at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. I think it must have been horrendous. Because you thought it's only your house. And then you realize, oh, but this next door is also in a crisis. Oh, and those next door also. And, oh, everywhere someone is dead. And what happened? And so, okay, so, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. I think it must have been horrible. Then, at night, then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flock and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. So please ask your God to bless me as well. Just for in case. I think, you know, he knew. Yeah, I think also because of the nine plagues before, and this is the 10th one, even if you're stupid, you sense something is going on here. Something is spiritually going on here. This is not natural how all these things happened. So Pharaoh must have known something, here is some greater force or energy or whatever, a God, a true loving God that's busy. And if our God is busy, man, nothing can come against it. It is so cool. Okay, so that's why the Israelites, they ate their meal at midnight, but they were still ready. Martin had to go to a camp once, and he had his boots on for the camp. And then when he arrived there, he realized, but this camp is actually very civilized. We are sleeping on beds and in houses. So his boots was a little overdone. But these Israelites were not overdone. They were ready. They were ready to go. It's as if you go on holiday, you are ready, you are packed, you have your fresh clothes on, and you have your food or whatever you take along, you are ready. So in that evening, I wonder how the mommies and so on did with the children, because they were forced to sleep perhaps already. It was all disruptions, and now Pharaoh said, go, please go, I don't want to see you anymore. And then they grabbed the stuff, and luckily they were dressed already. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptian for silver and gold, jewelry, and for clothing. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. Just give me your stuff so that I can leave. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. It is so, it's ridiculous. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. It's a lot of people. It's not just one person or six families. It was 600 men, with their chickens and their goats and their lambs and their baby strollers. I don't think they had them. So it was a huge commotion. Okay, cool. This was the Passover. This is what God said. We must remember. We must have this feast every year, to the Passover. This where God came and this angel of death passed over and they could be freed. There's a short summary, but it's so small on my page, so I'll look here. Nisan is the month, the first month. In my Bible it says Abib or Nisan. So it's called Nisan. And it was the lamb. They had to take the lamb on the 10th, and then on the 14th they had to slaughter it. Okay. So the Lord's Passover was at the counting of days start at night. No? So Nisan 14 starts at night, sundown, when three stars are visible. Then they had the unleavened bread they ate, and then already that day, then the 14th, and then the Passover lamb was slain about 3 p.m. And then the blood was put on the doorpost, and then they start prying. Okay? So, and then at night, the Passover lamb was eaten, the death angel slays the firstborn of Egypt at midnight, and then that morning, very early, they were set free. Okay, you get it, kind of? Cool. It is so significant. We go further now. All right, let's go. Okay, Exodus 12, verse 11. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fast. No, we did that. Okay, cool. Sorry. Joshua 5, verse 10 to 12. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, this is after 40 years, this is when they are supposed to enter into Canaan. Okay? So for 40 years they remembered this Passover. They did it. Okay, now this is the last one actually. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. It's very special. If you look at the summary, they had their last Passover the 14th of Nisan. They ate of old corn and unleavened bread, and then on the 16th the manna ceased. They ate of the first fruits of Canaan. So actually we will see that Jesus it has, after Passover you have the feast of the first fruit, seemingly. Am I right? That I cannot say, but they started eating the first fruit. Let's just stay with that. Okay. The next slide is the calendar of the Jews. A day starts at the evening. Three stars must be visible. Okay. So they count from that. And a daylight is divided by 12. So in winter, you have shorter daylight. So then dividing by 12, an hour is not really an hour then, if you can say it like that. So if you interpret the Bible, you must know what season it was, how was the what was the real time. You cannot always say that in the third hour is 9 in the morning. It depends on how many daylight hours there was. So it's actually very complicated. New moon, they called is the new moon and crescent moon. New moon is when you cannot see the moon. No, it's black. No, that's the new moon. And around 2 days after that, you can see the crescent of the moon, the little piece of the moon. And I think that's the sign of the Muslims, that crescent. So what is difficult is that some Jews, because God said from new moon we must start calculating, some Jews felt no, when the crescent is visible. And sometimes it's about 2 days, 6 to 40 hours difference. And that makes it often difficult in calculating the days, also in the Bible. When Luke says this, what calendar did he use? And we'll see just now. But it was very interesting to me to know that Easter is of full moon, the first full moon. after the spring. And we have Passover 14 days after the new moon. Sometimes it is then also full moon. So it can overlap, as we also read in that other thing. But I don't want to complicate it too much. God called the... Where did they get this to start with evening and then day? In Genesis 1 verse 5. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. So that's why they calculated from that. There was first evening and then morning. I think it's very cool to start with sleep. So for us, it can be very confusing and complicated because our clock works totally different. Okay, let's look at Luke 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" And then he said where, and it was also a miracle how they found it. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have honestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." If we see here, they have Passover before he died. So how now? Where did we miss it? Did Jesus miss it? It's those 2 days. The one with the full, with a dark moon, and that one with the crescent. They always had seemingly issues with that between themselves, the Jews and the priest. How must they do it? Because it is confusing to think Jesus had Passover with his disciples. They ate and they did the wine and they remembered it, and then 2 days later he was sacrificed. Okay, then verse 34, Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny 3 times that you know me." It's just to say, we know, some of us know, that there still happened a few things before he was arrested. Now, it was not that evening when they had the Passover meal that he was arrested. So they had the meal. And if I'm correct, then he went to the Mount Olives to pray again the next day and in the night, no? And then he said to what was this guy? Peter, about the cock. Okay, so true. Okay, we're nearly at the end. Let's look at the summary. Good. So again, preparation day is the 14th of Nisan. The Lord's Passover. The first day, unleavened bread is eaten. The Lord's Supper is that same day when Jesus ate the Lord's Supper. Christ arrested in Gethsemane and put on trial. Was it that night then? Okay, let's just go. 14th, preparation day, Lord's Passover. Let me just have it not on. The Sabbath was a high Sabbath because it was a Sabbath. But then also Passover fell on the Sabbath. So then it's kind of a double Sabbath. Because Passover is the 14th day after the new moon. And it's not necessarily on a Sabbath. No? It's not necessarily on this Sunday. The day the Passover lamb slain in the evening and the afternoon. There Jesus was crucified, and the burial before sundown, women prepared the spices. Am I now a little wrong here? Okay. On Sunday, the Sabbath, everything was quiet. Jesus rested in the tomb, but also the high priest went to Pilatus and said, "You know, this guy who was crucified now, he claimed he's going to get up in 3 days. So can you please give us some guards?" Because how they counted it was, even if it's 1 hour, Jesus died and was buried on the 14th, on the Nisan 14th. No? He died there. And even if it was just 2 hours before the new day, no, that the three stars, that counts as a day. They count it as a day. So it's inclusive. So that was the first day. Then the Sunday, the Sabbath, was the second day. So the Sunday, the day after the Shabbat, they knew he's gonna get up now. So they wanted the soldier before that. So the soldier was put here in daytime on the Sabbath, so that you can guard it. And then Jesus, this is the third day, resurrection was before sunrise, because we know that Maria went to it. It was still dark in the morning because she prepared some anointments to oil and to wrap Jesus in. And then he was gone already. So he was resurrected on the third day, not after 3 days. So we do not calculate 3 times for 24 hours. Just he made it on the 14th and then on the third day. So it's not 3 days actually in our calculating days. I don't want to confuse us all now about that first thought. Let me not go there now. I hope it's not too confusing there. All right. Jesus died the very hour the Passover lamb had to be slain in the temple. He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Isn't that significant? It is exactly on the same time. And then it was an earthquake and the forums on the curtain between the holy and holiest was torn, and it's symbolic of us having relationship with God may enter to the holy of holiest. And also this other study that I had, Daniel has in the book of Daniel, there's some prophecies towards also Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection, and it is spot on. It is so spot on. And then, resurrection. Oh, he's buried in the afternoon, and then resurrection between sunset on the Saturday and sunrise on our Sunday. And it is 44 prophecies that came to being with this whole Jesus going to the cross. Oh, a few is that his legs would not be broken, that they will toss for his. On a rock, so under clothes or your garment, that the cock will crow, the cock will, the rooster will say, ooh, 3 times before. There are so many things that all fell together. And the last picture is of Jesus and the tomb. If you can see, here is a little edge, and the big stone, that's of another grave. The big stone is supposed to roll in front of this thing. And if we read in the Bible that Maria thought, who will take that stone away? It was heavy. It was not easy to open the grave. It was an enormous stone. I think this is the grave of Jesus. Has anyone been to Jerusalem? Because on the photos, they all visit this one. So I think perhaps it's this one. I don't know. But it looks like this, with a stone, and it's empty. And then his clothes was folded. If he was stolen, as some people say, I think they would have taken the clothes with, or the lapis that they wrapped him in. It was left there. It is just a super amazing story, and it's the truth. It is who God is. And I wonder if we can stand. Not wonder, will you please stand? All these 44 prophecies, all the Passover stuff is from Egypt. 40 years they kept it, then the end of the first fruit of the land, just after the last Passover. Well, actually, their first Passover in Canaan. how the 44 prophecies came into being with Jesus, it is not, it cannot happen without planning. It could not. There is something bigger and higher. And then I feel, and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit went through or to so much length to do this. For who? He could have stayed in heaven. I think it was much more comfortable. But they wanted to do this. And then they bring all these little things that come with it. And it worked out perfect. There's lots of stuff that you can study and see how many things still. It's just perfect how it worked out. It is such a beautiful, wonderful story of what God intended for us. And yes, I just wrote here, the veil was torn and we have the privilege to have a restored relationship with God. And what more, we can have relationship with God. We can be free of demons. We can be free of sin. We can, God doesn't reject us anymore because of our sin. It is just so awesome. And God is the super faithful, righteous God who stays the same forever and ever. This is our Passover. This is the Jesus that we are reminded of, that we have this feast of. It is so much higher than all the clutter. It is so much bigger. It's so awesome. I just want to pray for us. Father God, you orchestrate so many things together. I couldn't even mention all of it. It is just too much. Thank you, Father, that you worked it out precisely long, long ago. Your heart is for us, not against us. You love us so much, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of your Holy Spirit that you gave to us afterwards, we can know you. We can have a relationship with you. Yeah. We can communicate with you. We can love you back, Lord. And it is such a privilege. Mm. And we are just in awe today, Father, of how you did all of this. The 10 plagues were significant. The Exodus was significant. But it didn't stop there. Mm. How could you plan that everything, that even Jesus died the precise hour that the lamb was supposed to be slaughtered, Lord? How did you get that right? Because you're God. Because you're God. Because it mattered to you. Mm. Because we matter to you, because you love us. Mm-hmm. And we want to come before you today, Lord, and we want to honor you. We want to truly honor you for who you are. And then that verse comes in my brain, which is, who are us? Who are we, man, that God is mindful of us? Lord, I do not understand it, but I know you love us. And that's how we could sing that we are your child, that nothing can take that away. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. You are our King. You are better than the best. You are the best God that there is. You are the only living God. You sacrifice yourself for us. We don't need to sacrifice ourselves for you, Father. Oh, Lord. Thank you sounds so simple and so plain. We thank you. We honor you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for this, Lord. And as everyone's eyes are closed, I just want to know, is there anyone who wants to recommit, who heard this now perhaps for the first time, I know most of you have heard this, and really understand that God is God. Yeah. And that Jesus did die for our sin. Because someone with sin cannot pay the price because he has his own sin. Mm. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus died without sin so that he could take all our wrongs, all our sin upon him, Lord. And that you as a judge, Father, can say it's done. They chose Jesus and they may enter. Lord, so I ask you, is there anyone who want to recommit, or for the first time in your life you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the one who did die for you, who did take up everything for you, who went meticulously with his dad to orchestrate this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just want to say, is there anyone who needs prayer? You're more than welcome to come to the front. Prayer for healing, prayer for recommitment, prayer for, you know, if there's anything on your heart you would like to come prayer. And then I want to give Caroline a mic for the testimony or the word she has. And then you're more than welcome to join us for coffee and tea and cake if there's something.
When we started worship, I immediately felt such a heavy heart and so much pain. I was like, where is this coming from? This is not what I see in my life right now. So I started praying and I really felt that God was saying, it is someone else's pain that you're feeling right now, and that there is someone who's really struggling very deep at the moment. And things like, it's all lost, it's never going to get better, it's never going to be mended. And I really felt that God was saying, it will all be made new, I will make all things new. So, yeah, that's why I thought it's better to share after. So if anyone here feels like, yeah, that's me, I'll be more than happy to come and pray with you.